Why should we reward them for the bad behavior? They should go out of business.
Local residents react to the failure of the government's bailout plan. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, September 30th. I'm Brian Frank. A day after the House rejected a $700 billion bailout package, lawmakers are scrambling to revise the plan. The bill was rejected by both Republicans and Democrats by a vote of 228 to 205. LA County Supervisor Yvonne Burke says that no matter how local residents feel about the plan, something must be done to help struggling banks.
Most people recognize it's not something anyone wants to do, but are we prepared to take a chance on total failure of all of the banks except one or two? And are we prepared to see the kind of effect this would have in terms of the United States' whole economic ability to function?
Burke says she doesn't expect LA residents to be immediately affected by the bailout's failure. The City of Commerce will host a rally tonight to protest a proposed power plant in the neighboring town of Vernon. Commerce opposes the plant because it says the plant's environmental standards aren't satisfactory. Brian Wolfson of the city's Public Information Office says Commerce wants to raise awareness about the project.
Well, we want to rally support and for the protest of the Vernon Power Plant. We think it's important that the surrounding communities work with the organizations and churches in the area who are opposing this project and that we work together as one.
Proponents of the project say the plant will spare the surrounding area from potential rolling blackouts. A law requiring all L.A. County pet owners to spay and neuter their cats and dogs goes into effect tomorrow. Los Angeles Animal Services says the ordinance could save the lives of over 100,000 animals by 2013. But City Controller Laura Chick says L.A. Animal Services is not prepared to properly enforce the new regulation. Pet owners who don't neuter will face misdemeanor criminal charges and fines of up to $500. The ACLU of Southern California announced victory today in the asylum battle over a former Sri Lankan farmer who was accused of being a terrorist. Hannah Kim has more.
After almost 7 years of imprisonment and legal battles, 28-year-old Ahila Nataraja was finally granted asylum last week. Nataraja had fled his native country of Sri Lanka in 2001 after being tortured by the Sri Lankan army. Ahilan Arulanantham is the director for Immigrants' Rights and National Security at the ACLU of Southern California. He says the U.S. government unfairly detained Nataraja.
But instead of quickly adjudicating his case and granting his application for relief, our government imprisoned him for 4.5 years.
During the drawn-out court proceedings, Nataraja was detained, then forced to wear an electronic monitoring bracelet and obey a strict curfew. The ACLU sued twice on Nataraja's behalf to release him from detention and the harsh monitoring system. His case set a precedent in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on how long a person can be held pending immigration court decisions. Nataraja was finally granted asylum after the U.S. Attorney General declined to review the case further.
Ahilan Nataraja's story is important beyond the personal tragedy that he suffered because it offers a window into the human cost to the mistakes. And there are thousands of mistakes that the government has made by turning the war on terror into a war on immigrants.
Arulanantham also says the case proves that more work needs to be done to secure the rights of these asylum seekers. Hannah Kim, Annenberg Radio News.
The Science Center in Exposition Park is hosting the Drug Enforcement Administration's new exhibit, Exploring the Science of Drug Addiction. Dan Bentz was there to get a sneak peek at Target America.
Enter the Target America exhibit, and you're greeted by photos of toddlers burned by a meth lab explosion. Walk past the crumpled frame of a car crashed by a man high on marijuana and opiates, and you'll find yourself inside a motel meth lab. But just around the corner, kids can have fun learning about the dangers of drugs. Crawl through a drug smuggling tunnel, become a junior agent and go on a drug bust, and even play a wacky game of basketball so you can see what it's like to shoot hoops on drugs. Gabriela Jacoma's fifth grade class especially enjoyed taking a spin on the Wheel of Misfortune, which lets kids spin a wheel to see what would happen to them if they took drugs.
Come on, Amber. We need somebody to do rehab.
It may seem like a bizarre juxtaposition, but DEA Educational President Bill Alden says it's designed to help families talk about drugs.
One of the difficulties we've had in this field forever is getting parents to talk to their children about drugs.
Ms. Hakoma is a parent as well as a teacher and thinks the exhibit will have a positive influence on her children.
As a parent, also I feel like responsible of my daughter, the way that I can guide her to not be involved in drugs.
The exhibit will open on October 2nd. Dan Bentz, Annenberg Radio News.
It's almost October, and in the rest of the U.S., people are pulling out their jackets to face autumn's chilly weather. But here in Southern California, sunny skies and warm temperatures are in the forecast for days to come. We'll have an overnight low of 65 degrees. Tomorrow will bring clear skies with a high of 87 and a low of 65. The sunny weather is perfect for taking part in Banned Books Week. Did you know that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was once banned? Libraries and bookstores all over L.A. are sponsoring events to highlight protesting censorship. Later on Annenberg Radio News, I talk with Ahilan Nadaraja, the Sri Lankan asylum seeker detained on terrorism charges for more than 4 years by the U.S. government. Today is Rosh Hashanah, or Jewish New Year. The holiday celebrates the creation of the world. This is the start of the year 5769 in the Hebrew calendar. Erica Schultz reports from one local temple.
In Rosh Hashanah is admitting your mistakes and making improvements for the new year. Members of the congregation at Wilshire Boulevard Temple in Los Angeles agree that world peace and a stable economy is what's on their minds.
May we have peace in the parts of the world where we don't have it, and maintain the peace where we do have it. That's what I wish for the new year.
This year's holiday comes at a time when the U.S. faces many domestic and international issues, like the instability of the American economy, the presidential election, and the Iraq War.
That we'll be able to work something out with the upcoming election, as well as just helping to create stability for our country.
I just want peace for the world, and I'd like the synagogue to be rebuilt beautifully and big for another 100 years. And also, I'd like to end the war in Iraq. I think that that's causing a lot of problems, so I prayed for peace.
All the people I spoke with also said they hope for something far more basic.
My hopes for the new year is for good health and happiness.
Health and happiness for my friends and family.
Only a few weeks from now, the Jewish community will celebrate Yom Kippur, a holiday focusing on repentance and fasting. Erica Schultz, Annenberg Radio News.
It's not just banks affected by today's financial woes. Everyday folks have a stake in the market. ARN's Ed Cohen talked with shoppers outside the Macy's store at Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Plaza in Los Angeles to hear what people are saying about the failure of the bailout package.
I really think that they should have the bailout, because I feel that with the way the economy is today and the people are losing their homes, that some relief should be given to the American public. However, if they don't come out with this, if they don't allow it, more people are going to be into trouble.
It might be a good decision just to hold off a little bit and get into the specs of exactly what's going where, how it's going to be allocated, or how it's going to be dispersed, and things of that nature.
I think it's a shame. I think they should have modified the existing bailout program that the president put forth, so that it does help the smaller people, but that they should have passed one, and they should have done it last week.
Are you at all worried about the situation right now?
Yes, I'm worried about it. I'm worried about it for our country. You know, if our financial markets don't exist, then our country can't exist.
I think it's a shame that they're messing up the whole economy. You know, Wall Street needs to get, everybody needs to get it together. We headed to our next Great Depression. I don't think it's right. They spending all of our money and taking more of our money. We're barely making. That's why nobody's spending money out in the store, because they taking so much money of our tax. They need to give us our full gross of what we make, and we will spend more money.
They got to do something about it. So regardless of anything, they got to pass a bill that's going to stabilize the economy again.
I don't think we should really bail out the investment branches, except maybe doing a guarantee on mutual funds if you've already had them in between the last between 2003 and 2008. I would guarantee those that are liquid and cash, but I wouldn't support the investment banks.
So it sounds like you're probably not too unhappy about the bill yesterday, that particular bill not going through.
No, that particular bill, I think, was a travesty. All it's doing is pushing up people who have already, for lack of a better word, they've already robbed us. They've gone away with it. They've retired. They've left their companies. And all we're going to do is prop up a situation again where the current CEOs are going to get these golden parachutes. We're propping up these houses that knew they were doing bad business, that securitized these bad businesses, that sold them as security instruments for a lot of retirements, state, financial, school districts. Why should we reward them for the bad behavior? They should go out of business.
Yes, I don't think we should reward Wall Street by bailing them out, especially the CAOs who've been getting golden parachutes when they do leave a company. I believe there was one that I read about that was only in office for a few days or weeks and got several million dollars. I think that there should be some alternative. They should put in safeguards first before we give them a dime.
I'm just stunned about the whole thing, you know. Just hope that it don't hurt everybody, you know,
right,
the citizens, because the poor, low working people, the middle class people, this is what I'm talking about. It hurts everybody, you right. know. And I don't think it's fair for the low, anybody to have to bail them out when they don't know what they are doing and have done.
That was, in order, Rosetta Fairchild, Terry Brown, Carol Wheeler, Mark Maroney, Eddie Marin, Chris Church, Mary Lou Simpson, and Zolar Strickland, all of Los Angeles. Now we return to our story about Ahilan Nataraja. He has been trying to get asylum in the U.S. for nearly 7 years after fleeing political persecution and torture in Sri Lanka. He spent much of those 7 years in jail because he was the target of a terrorist investigation by immigration officials. The American Civil Liberties Union took on his case, and he got his first taste of freedom in 2006 when he was put under house arrest.
But today is the first day I feel that all the burdens are gone, and I feel relieved, and I feel happy that this ordeal is over, and I can look forward to life now. When I first came, I was given only 3 days to shower, and I was if I go out, I have to go in a group, and I was given 10 to 15 minutes time outside. And then I was put into isolation, where even that was taken. I didn't feel angry as much as sadness at what was happening.
How fair did you feel the system was treating you as you were going through it?
He's saying when I was in jail, sometimes the food services don't come regularly, and occasionally there were jailers who would come and call me a terrorist and humiliate me. And there was no medical care that was regular or available as we needed it. I was put in segregation, and that is the only part of the experience that I can't forget, which has hurt me deeply, because I was always someone who was fleeing violence from the government, and they called me a terrorist, and that was very hurtful and not right. As far as the judges were concerned, they were fair, and they adjudicated fairly, but the immigration service was against me, called me a terrorist, and kept on delaying the judges' decision because they unfairly called me a terrorist.
This case has sort of set a precedent for other people seeking asylum or being detained. And I wonder how Mr. Nataraja, if he's had a chance to reflect on that and how he feels that his case may be able to help others in the future.
Thanks for knowing me. He says the reason why he won the case is because of ACLU, which did not charge him any money, but did it for the justness of the cause. And he had other lawyers to whom he gave a lot of money who didn't produce results. So, you know, if there is anyone to get credit for release of all these people because of my case, it is the ACLU that should get the credit, and it is to ACLU that people should be thankful.
Well, thank you. Is there anything then that you'd like to add? Anything else about your story that you'd like to say?
He thanks the media for getting his story out, and hopefully it will help someone. He thanks the ACLU for and America for letting him live and giving him life. And he hopes that knowing his situation, there are many Sri Lankan Tamils who are truly in danger, that and many of them still in jail. I hope that they will be released and that they will look at their situation sympathetically based on my story.
Nataraja says he is working at a gas station now and studying English. He plans to work and live in the United States for the rest of his life. He joined us and spoke to us through a translator. In the largest statewide crackdown in California history, immigration officers recently arrested more than 1,100 illegal immigrants, Harmony Apel reports.
It was a massive attempt to rid the state of 2,000 undocumented immigrants. It took 3 weeks and more than 30 immigration officers. Families were torn apart and businesses were disrupted. Gang members and child molesters were sent packing. When the smoke cleared, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, had deported more than 1,000 illegal immigrants from California. Assistant Field Office Director Jim Pilkington says the sweep was crucial to the safety of the nation.
Many of these people do pose a danger to the community. Many of them have criminal convictions. Some are violent offenders, and it's our goal to target these individuals for arrest and removal from the country in an attempt to make our communities.
The government targeted illegal immigrants who have ignored deportation orders. Nearly one-third of those arrested had criminal records, including a Mexican national who had 52 prior charges of lewd acts involving a child. Those arrested came from 35 different countries around the world. Some had returned to the U.S. illegally after being deported. Pilkington says others had fought against deportation in long, drawn-out court battles and lost.
These folks had already had their day in court, and they failed to comply with judges' orders. Therefore, they were targeted for arrest and some for prosecution. But nearly all of these individuals for we were enforcing pre-existing removal orders.
The operation was considered a success by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, but advocates of immigration rights say it was inhumane because it took parents away from their children. No immigrant rights advocates were available for comment. Harmony Apel, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Matt Mendez to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
And coming up on ATV and Wall Street Rush, a surge in the markets today, but will Congress get a bailout bill passed? Also, you'll be seeing new labels on the food you buy at the grocery store. The FDA now requiring the country of origin be printed on many imported products. Plus, our weekly interview with Pete Carroll. It's Meet with Pete. Talks about the loss to Oregon State and next week's game against Oregon. It's at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision, Annenberg TV News. We'll hope to see you then.
That's it for this Tuesday. I'm Brian Frank.